Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby-related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Deb Flaschenberg, and I am your host of Yoga Birth Babies. I wanted to offer a trigger warning about today's episode. We're going to be talking about the topic stillbirth. And we're going to be talking about a program called Count the Kicks. It's an evidence-based stillbirth prevention campaign that provides educational resources to healthcare providers and expectant parents. I have Shawn Sumilis. She is in Arizona with her teen son, and she has been the Arizona ambassador for Count the Kicks since 2013. Shawn does this work in honor of her son, Zach, who was stillborn at full term in 2010. So what I'm really appreciative about this conversation with Shawn is not only does she share her story and she opens up about her experience as well as support for those that experience stillbirth, but we talk about the research about how counting the kicks can be a preventative measure for expectant parents. She and I both love research, so we dive into some of the research from the British Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. There's a ton of research on the Count the Kicks website. We also talk about some of the racial disparities that happens with stillbirth. So she gives some really great information. But one thing that is so amazing to me is that the U.S. has one of the most expensive births or cost per birth. And yet our outcomes are not so great. And it's very expensive to get ultrasounds and the care that we get here. But something like counting the kicks and knowing what to look for and what time of day to look for that's right for your baby and just your baby's pattern can save your baby's life. Knowing how to just listen internally can be a massive preventative measure. So I think you're going to get a lot out of this conversation. I can imagine as an expectant parent, it can feel overwhelming to hear this, but it can also be empowering to know that by turning inward and feeling that connection to baby and listening to baby's movement and feeling and listening inward can be a way to assure your baby a healthier experience. So I'm really excited for you to hear that. Now, before we get to my conversation with Shawn, I just want to give you a bit of an update of what's happening at PYC. We are just going strong, and I'm just so excited. We just celebrated our 21st birthday, which is mind-boggling to me to think that we started so long ago, and we are still going strong and still serving thousands and thousands of parents. It's just really wonderful, and I feel so blessed and honored to have had that role in so many lives. So for those that don't live near New York City, you can take class with us every single day online. You can participate in our workshops. Many of them are on demand. Some of them are online. Those in the area, you can join us in the studio. We also offer our teacher training online and in person. So our community is here to support you on your journey. So thanks for coming along that journey with us. Okay, we're going to take a super quick break. When we come back, please enjoy my conversation with Shawn from Count the Kicks.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm good, Deb. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I just want to thank you for being my guest and talking about, you know, some pretty deep stuff when we talk about the Count the Kick program and organizations. So I guess we should jump in with, I'd love to learn a little bit about you. And also, how did you get involved in Count the Kicks?
Well, I am a mom to two sons. My son Ian is 15, and my son Zach would have been 13 this past Monday on July 3rd. Zach was stillborn at full term 2 days after I noticed he wasn't moving as much, and I was told by my OB that he was just settling down for birth. I now know that babies don't settle down, as birth nears. That is a myth. In my rage and grief, I started researching how this could happen and came across Count the Kicks. I reached out, and one of the founders, Kate Safras, called me right away. At the time, Kate was really a lifeline that helped pull me out of the darkness. And I became the Arizona ambassador for Count the Kicks in 2013. So I've been doing this work for 10 years here in Arizona.
It's really important work. And as we were saying before I pressed record, that I just appreciate your openness and bravery to share, because I feel like a lot of people, especially with this program and your story, are going to have more awareness, and that could save a lot of babies' lives.
Thank you. That's what we want. We are really wanting to change the narrative and elevate the conversation around stillbirth, because it's very much been in the shadows for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's still happening. It's still happening to way too many families.
Yeah. And I will be fully transparent that I have been wanting to do a podcast about stillbirth for, I think my podcast is 7 or 8 years. And I've honestly been nervous and not sure how to approach this conversation. But when I stumbled upon Count the Kicks, it felt like it was an organization that was really trying to promote awareness and that could prevent stillbirth. Because before then, I didn't really realize there were ways to be aware and to prevent these unfortunate situations. So again, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I guess we should get into, what is Count the Kicks?
So Count the Kicks is an evidence-based stillbirth prevention program that was founded by 5 Iowa moms who all lost daughters to stillbirth and infant death in the early 2000s. They basically started out in coffee shops supporting each other and came to the conclusion that they wanted to create a program that would reduce stillbirth. At the time, they had the goal of saving just one baby, and now there are over 100 baby safe stories from parents all over the country. And
wow.
These are families that have come to us to tell us that Count the Kicks saved their baby.
That is amazing. Can you talk about some of the stories? I'm guessing they share them, and is there anything you want to say about that?
They do. And if you go to our website, www.countthekicks.org, there's a whole page dedicated to baby saves, which is understandably the best part of what we do. There was a recent story, a baby save, and oh goodness, I can't remember his name, but because we have a lot coming in anymore, that his mom was using the Count the Kicks app, and at 34 weeks, she noticed a change and went in right away to be seen, and he was in distress, and he was able to be saved. And that's basically the crux of most of the baby safe stories, where, you know, mom was keeping track, mom noticed a change, and she wanted to be seen right away, and they were able to intervene and save her baby.
Oh, that is so thrilling and so important. So when I was preparing for our conversation, I started to take a very, very deep dive into the Count the Kicks website, which has so much to it and a lot of research. Can
Yes.
you share some of the research you find behind Count the Kicks?
Yes. So Calthic Kicks was actually modeled after a study in Norway where fetal movement monitoring was implemented as a standard of practice, leading to an overall 30% reduction of stillbirth in just a few short years. Mm. Since the launch of Calthic Kicks in Iowa, there has been an overall reduction of stillbirth by 32% and 39% in Black mothers.
That's huge. That's really huge. So tell me a little bit about the app and then how it's used and just in general, the method of counting the kicks.
So the app is a free app for Apple and Android phones. You can also have it on your smartwatch. The app is in over 16 languages. Moms can set a text or an email reminder, letting them know it's time to count. And they can also save each session. So they have a trending pattern showing what their baby is doing. So you really get an idea of what your baby's pattern is. The app also has a strength feature. So for, you know, the movements that day, you can rate, you know, from 1 to 5, how strong your baby's movements were, because that's also important. You know, if a mom is getting 10 movements in 30 minutes, and generally her baby's kicks are strong, a 4 or 5, and then one day, you know, that changes, and it's taking well over an hour to get the normal 10 movements, and the strength is now a 2 or 3, then that's indicative of, you know, a change and something's happening, and a mom should definitely go in and be seen.
That is really interesting. I remember with my second, I kind of worked myself into a tizzy that I had, it was probably like 37, 38 weeks, and I hadn't felt her quite as much as I normally had. So my mood was like, okay, drink some juice, lay down. Yeah. I had seriously worked myself up. I was like pushing my belly around. I'm like, I'm going to wake her up like really, really much. And then eventually everything came back to normal. But I started it was probably only maybe like 20 minutes, but I put myself into this like massive hysteria. I don't think I'm probably out of the norm. When should people start counting their kicks? And is there a realm of normal, or is it more about the pattern per person, per baby?
So when a mom should start counting, So the guidance is 28 weeks in a low risk pregnancy and 26 weeks in a high risk pregnancy. And so at that point, a mom really wants to find the time of day that her baby is most active. And so if that's, you know, I know with my children, even with Zach, like he was most active in the middle of the night, sometimes towards the end, and he would kick me until I would get up and eat something because I was hungry and he wanted me to eat something. And so, but it's really picking that time that your baby is most active. And that's where you can set the reminder that, you know, it's 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock and it's time to kick. And so it's, again, it's just going back to determining what is normal for your baby, what time of day, you know, they're most active. What's their normal movement pattern? Is it, you know, getting that 10 movements in 30 minutes or 60 minutes, as long as it's consistent, being consistent. It's basically like a daily wellness check for your baby.
So it's not like each baby we're looking for like 6 to 10 counts. It doesn't matter as long as it's consistent, like baby.
Okay. Well, really the old guidance used to be 10 movements in 2 hours. That is not guidance anymore. So with the app, you will count until you get 10 movements. And movements are, you know, kicks, jabs, rolls, not hiccups because they're involuntary. Mm-hmm. So with the app, there's a little foot on the app, and each time you get a movement, you tap the foot until you get to 10. So whether that 10 movements takes consistently 30 minutes for your baby or 45 minutes or 60 minutes, you know that generally that's how long it takes for your baby. So that's why if, you know, again, you're getting your 10 movements in 30 minutes most days, and then one day, you know, it's taking double that time. It's taking an hour and a half or an hour to get those movements, and they're not as strong, then you know something has changed in your baby's environment and you need to be seen.
What have they found? And this may be beyond your knowledge, but when someone goes in and they're saying, okay, I'm not feeling the movements and they're monitoring baby, what typically might have happened internally? Again, this might be beyond your knowledge. I'm just kind of curious.
So that's a good question. I actually, outside of Count the Kicks, I also do work in the maternal health space. I do a lot of research. I'm in grad school. I'm on the ASU Maternal Child Health Translational Team. So I am always knee deep in research about birth outcomes, especially stillbirth. And so unfortunately, in the U.S., stillbirth is under-researched and underfunded. Some parents never get answers. There is currently two pieces of federal legislation that we are trying to get passed that will hopefully change the trajectory of stillbirth in the U.S. This would allow for more research, more collective data collection system, because we don't have that. Other countries like Australia and the UK have a national data collection system and research that has allowed them to reduce their stillbirth rate. Outside variables linked to stillbirth are drinking and drug abuse, but this is very outdated information. 100% of the stillbirth moms I know, including myself, did everything right and had a normal pregnancy. There is evidence that laying on your back or right side could increase the risk of stillbirth. There is also emerging evidence about abnormal placenta size leading to an increased risk for stillbirth. In my situation, I learned after the fact that I had undiagnosed genetic blood clotting and immune system issues. I looked like the picture of health, but underlying genetics unfortunately kicked in. I believe that there should be a standard of practice that checks people early on in their reproductive years for these genetic conditions that can lead to health issues and adverse pregnancy outcomes. So when it comes to underlying conditions that could lead to stillbirth, there's blood clotting, there's chronic conditions like autoimmune that may be undiagnosed, lupus, there's hypertension issues that maybe were underlying that a mom didn't know about. So all these things that there could be some preventative there too, I believe. Like in my situation, if I would have known about the clotting disorders, I could have taken medication that would have prevented what happened.
Yeah, it's interesting you talked about the sleeping on the back. I think it might have been from the Count the Kicks website, but I did see from what I saw, and maybe I misread it, I thought it said the left and right sides were fine, but the increase came with sleeping on the back.
So yeah, there is research that left is best. And I would be happy to like look into that and share that with you at a later time because there's so many pieces to it. And again, it's like there's been no formal, a lot of research.
I guess part of me is nervous that I don't want someone to listen to this like, oh my God, I woke up on my back. So from the research I saw, and I'd love to share it with you because I saw it on this website saying right side had equal outcome to the left, but it was the back that was concerned. But those listening, if you woke up on your back, don't freak out right now. Because it's natural when you're sleeping. I will make sure in the show notes that I link the article that I saw. So I don't want people to totally wig out about this. But speaking of research, and you mentioned the UK, I know there was some important research published in the British Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology as a reliable method to prevent stillbirth. Can you talk a little bit about those findings from that research?
Yes, we were very excited that that was published back in April. The BJOG study showed that over the course of 10 years with the implementation of Count the Kicks, the Iowa stillbirth rate went down 1% every 3 months for a decade. Mm-hmm. Iowa was studied along with three other Midwestern states that did not have Count the Kicks. That included Illinois, Minnesota, and Missouri. And the stillbirth rate in those states remained stagnant or got worse during the same time frame.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And again, I'll also, for those interested in seeing some of this research, I will make sure, because that was also on Count the Kicks. So I'll make sure, again, we have all that for those that love to dig in and read all that. But I did spend a lot of time scouring the site. I also found on the Count the Kick website, it's stated that it's not standardized approach to teach parents count the kicks.
Yes.
So I had my babies not that long ago. My daughter's 9, my son is 11. I don't remember my care providers saying, you know, do a kick count. So why do you think it's not standardized approached? And then I guess how is count the kicks changing that?
So, you know, count the kicks is not currently a national standard of practice. We are working to change that. An example of a standard of practice is the 26-week glucose screening. Mm-hmm. This is also where we advise providers to have the kick counting conversation with expectant parents. A big step in making count the kicks a standard of practice is getting ACOG, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, on board. That is the governing organization that implements standards, and they are historically a slow-moving wheel, even mm-hmm. when there is ample supporting evidence. On the positive side, we do have support from organizations like AWON, which is the Association of Women's Health Obstetric and Neonatal Nurses, and AMCHIP, which is the Association of Maternal and Child Health Programs, who designated Count the Kicks a best practice in 2021. Count the Kicks also currently has 25 state partners, either through a state health department, perinatal collaborative, or managed care organization. These partnerships make Count the Kicks materials free in that state, in addition to trainings and continuing education for birth workers. The CDC also names decreased fetal movement as a warning sign in their Hear Her campaign to address maternal mortality. This is important because evidence shows that a mom who has a stillbirth faces up to a 5 times greater risk of maternal death or morbidity. Mm. So, you know, in the time that I've been with Count the Kicks in 10 years, we have made great strides. You know, unfortunately in our country, things do move a little slowly mm-hmm. when it comes to really making a big change when it comes to standard of practice. So we are constantly working on that piece.
Yeah, I think I read a statistic that it takes, I think, 16 or 17 years for research or evidence-based research to make its way into more standardized practice. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of distress for parents should they lose a baby from
right.
not having this a standardized practice. Okay, we're going to yes. take a quick break. When we come back, we've talked about some of the factors and variables that play a role in stillbirth. Let's also talk about racial disparity in stillbirth. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So we are back. So we already know that Black and brown moms have a much higher chance of infant and maternal mortality. Where are you seeing this in stillbirth? What are some of the racial disparities that you're seeing here?
So, you know, sadly, racial disparities around stillbirth continue to persist at alarming rates. The numbers are for Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander moms, 1 in 94 pregnancies will end in stillbirth. For Black mothers, 1 in 97 pregnancies will end in stillbirth. For Indigenous pregnancies, that's 1 in 128. For Hispanic pregnancies, that's 1 in 205. And then for white pregnancies, it's 1 in 211. So as we can see, you know, Black and brown moms generally have a 2 to 3 times greater risk of stillbirth. You know, as an organization, we are working to address health equity both internally and externally. We do have a health equity team on staff. There's bi-monthly trainings for our staff and board. Externally, we are working alongside non-clinical supporters to build relationships with trusted sources and marginalized communities to ensure Catholic Kicks education is available. And this includes faith leaders, salons, libraries, community centers, and doulas, birth workers. So we are definitely, pounding the pavement and really trying to get the word out because, especially after COVID, these numbers got worse. Mm-hmm. They were not good before the pandemic, but they got worse.
Yeah, I can imagine. So when you're asking parents to count the kick, what if someone doesn't have great proprioception and body awareness? Are they finding it harder to distinguish what they're feeling? Have you heard any feedback about that?
So occasionally, I've heard of, an expectant parent basically saying that, I think it's with anterior placenta.
I was just going to say, wondering about that because literally in my head as you were talking, I'm like, I hear an anterior placenta, you can't feel as much, but it's on the inside. The placenta's on the front, but they're still feeling their baby. So shouldn't they still feel to the left and right? So I was wondering, how is that accounted for when they're asked to be aware of movement?
So that, when that happens, we do advise, not being clinicians, we do advise that a mom or expectant parent talk to their provider about ways to detect movement. And from what I understand, sometimes further along in pregnancy, it gets a little better. That's okay. Just been some feedback I've heard. Mm-hmm. But we do advise that, an expectant parent really have that conversation with their provider on how they're going to be able to track their baby.
Okay, that's really important. Yeah. From a personal standpoint, when you're thinking about your involvement with Count the Kicks, I'm just imagining that you're incredibly proud of the work based on the reason that you ended up at Count the Kicks. What are your thoughts on that?
I've 13 years in and having just, a week of reflection with, having had Zach's birthday, I feel like my son is a gift. I feel very blessed to be his mother, and I feel that this work is my calling. Mm-hmm. And I do feel blessed that I'm able to do it. I mean, it comes from great heartache, but it is a lifelong commitment at this point to do what I can to improve birth outcomes.
Do you feel, and you can always tell me, this is too personal, but for those that have suffered loss, as also a parent that had suffered loss, and again, reflecting since it was just your son's birthday recently, do you have anything you can offer to those parents as they're working through this?
Oh, well, I know those first years are just really dark. I think that trying to find some sort of purpose for yourself, trying to honor your baby, there could be light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, we know it's never going to get better. That heartache and that loss is always there. However, I do feel that there's ways to kind of focus on the light. And that's why, aligning with Count the Kicks and Healthy Birthday, which is the 501c that created Count the Kicks, the original founders, they really focus on the light. And how can we essentially make lemonade with these lemons, right? And how can we make things better for people? And I think it's just maybe finding that for yourself, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. It could be very private for yourself. It doesn't have to be big or grandiose. But finding something that honors your baby, honors your connection to them, I think does help, and I've also, I don't know where people stand with faith, and I don't want to presume, but whatever, if there's any type of faith in your life, I do feel that faith also can help with the healing a little bit. It's mm-hmm. helped me. So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, if you would like to offer one final tip, a piece of advice for new and expectant parents. We're going to be right back.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We are back. And gosh, I feel like you have so much wisdom from your own personal experience, your involvement in Count the Kicks. What would you like to offer new and expectant parents?
I would say just really listen to your gut and know that you have the power to advocate for yourself and your baby. If you're with a provider that you're not feeling seen or heard, and you're being dismissed, it's okay to move on and find somebody that will listen to you. Mm-hmm. They are out there. So really it's just, I think our intuition starts when they're in the womb. And I think listening to your gut, honoring yourself, and honoring what you need.
I feel like that is a message. I hear it from doulas, I hear from childbirth educators, and I'm loving that you are also saying this, because as those birthing, as the parent to this baby, you know more than anyone else. Our instincts, our connection is so deep, and how we're treated during pregnancy and birth is really felt and really is important that people are treated well. So thank you for reiterating this very important message. Where can people find the Count to Kicks app, and where can people find it in general if they want to? Again, I will make sure we link to it, but there's just such great research there. Where can people find all of this?
So, you know, the app can be found in when it comes to technology, I don't always say the right words. My 15-year-old calls me a boomer. it can be found for iPhone in the App Store, and then on your Droid or Android phone. We also have a web-based version. So maybe people don't have a smartphone. We also have paper charts that people can print up if they don't have the best Wi-Fi. We also have these new kit counting bracelets that we're working with, hopefully getting more funding for. So if an expectant parent lives in an area where there just isn't access to Wi-Fi, they have these wristbands that can help them keep track.
So that.
Yes, it's wonderful, especially, you know, with there's a lot of rural health issues right now. So that's perfect for the rural health and, you know, not having access like the average person does. So there's a lot of great information on our website, www.countthekicks.org. You can also find information about the app there. You can find the kit counting paper charts. There's the web-based version of the app. We are also on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
Oh gosh, I didn't see you on TikTok. I'll make sure I look.
I don't know how to. I don't really understand TikTok, but I know that we're on there.
All right, I'm brand new to it myself, so I will definitely take a look at that. I want to just thank you for providing this information, because when we think about how many people get ultrasounds and all these kind of, you know, more expensive things, coming back to ourselves and listening to our bodies for simply counting the kicks of your baby. What an amazing low-tech, always available option that you're putting forth as a preventative way. I'm so appreciative. And again, I want to thank you for sharing your personal story.
Well, thank you, Deb. It was really an honor to be here today and talk with you about this, because, you know, that is our mission. We want to get the message out loud and clear and consistent. So we're just really happy to be able to do this work and help people.
Thank you so much.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.